Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to another instant no-spoiler reaction. Quite often we get to see films before they hit the cinemas. Sometimes it can be a few months, sometimes it might only be a day beforehand. Either way, we're now recording our instant reactions, and together with a monthly roundup podcast to see if we still feel the same way weeks later. Because sometimes there are movies that can change your mind. Have a listen now to our latest instant reaction.
Okay. And oxygen. Yes, more kendo drums. That was Ambulance. And my eardrums possibly might not be the same again. Alex Billington, firstshowing.net, tell me, what did you think?
Bay.
If there are not cars exploding outside of this this place right now, then we're not out of a Bay movie.
Yes.
I expect something to explode out of the intersection nearby.
Well, I mean, okay, so we're outside Zoo Palast and we're looking at all of the wonderful kind of dressing for tomorrow's premiere, including...
Oh, it's tomorrow, I was wondering.
Including the ambulance. And
The main character is on display here, standing silently.
Yes, with arguably the least lines, and yet... Oh my dear. Well, okay, so what's the setup? The new Mr. Morpheus goes to see his half-brother to get a loan of some money to help his terminally sick kid, and instead gets pulled into a
His wife.
And
who needs a really expensive surgery in the US that she can't afford.
Indeed. So the solution is to essentially reenact Heat with swirling cameras, dive bombing drones and explosions and wide angle lenses and lots of lens flare and everything that you would probably expect and nothing more from Mr. Michael May.
You said it. You'd expect and nothing more. absolutely nothing more to the plot.
Where are the robots? That's what I want to know. Where are the robots?
I'm glad that it wasn't sci-fi. There was enough ridiculous LAPD equipment in this that I was annoyed enough.
Oh my dear.
I had a lot of thoughts on it because by the end I thought maybe this is why Jerry Bruckheimer was good to Bay, because I thought he was still producing Bay's work.
Right.
But he's not involved anymore and Bay's now just producing his own stuff. And I'm like, maybe there's a reason that Bruckheimer brought some coherence to Bay's madness in making better movies in the beginning. And now that they've parted ways, Bay's just unleashed in the worst possible of ways. I mean, like, I would say this. I hated Six Underground.
Right.
This is better than Six Underground. Slightly. It's no Bad Boys. It's no Transformers, but it's better than Six Underground. Which I think was perhaps a Netflix problem. Like, they truly let him get unhinged, and he had nowhere to go, whereas this, it felt like at least there was some studio direction in giving him something. But other than that, it's also like you see Bay with this just be like, oh, the LAPD are my friends, I'm gonna bring every LAPD vehicle, equipment, moment. There's thousands of cars in this, there's 18 helicopters, there's like everything from the LAPD. Oh, and then there's the FBI, and then there's an ambulance, and then there's a motorcycle or three that you can hear in the background. This is Bay right now leaving the screening. And then there's
No, it's not, because there's no explosions.
Well, we don't know. Maybe he's going to drive off and it's going to explode in the corner. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think it was remarkable that with all the bullets and the explosions, whilst the film and the plot line were coming up to pieces with each new development, the ambulance just kept on going. As an advert for Chevrolet or whoever makes this ambulance, well, job well done. But Chihuahua, I mean... I don't know, it just got, as with all Bay stuff, it starts and then it just gets, it's like it just takes this piece of chewing gum and it just gets thinner it doesn't matter what you try and do with it because it just ends up all over the fucking place.
The only interesting part of the plot to me was the, how are they going to get out of it? Almost like a, when you watch Inside Man, you're like, oh, there's no way they can pull off this robbery and get out of it. But you're like intrigued to find out what's going on. Yeah. And this is not, I'm not, you know, Inside Man is miles away from what this is. But what I mean is that there was this like brief moment midway through, which after an hour of pulling the chewing gum, we finally get to this moment where you're like, oh, they're actually trying to plan a way to get out of it. Because the whole movie, you're like, there's no way they've shot cops, they've robbed a bank for $16 million, like, they didn't wear masks at all, their faces are everywhere, like, there's, how are they ever going to ever get away with this? And I was, like, hoping that they would have actually focused on that more, because that would have made the movie interesting. But it's such a brief thing that I was like, okay, it brought me back to life, to use a movie moment, and then killed me again.
I think, I mean, it didn't so much just jump the shark as sort of jump the pooch, because when they pulled back the cop cars because, oh my god, the captain's dog's in the back seat of the lead pursuit vehicle, was like,
that was my favorite moment in the movie, Mark.
That was your favorite moment?
It was, actually. I thought it was that hilarious.
That was the point where we were departing from reality.
Well, but I thought it was hilarious that of all creatures that they care to worry about in the movie, the dog takes precedence over everything. I was like, fellow dog lovers listening to this are going to be like, I get you, Alex. I get you.
The dog is the comedic release.
Well, sort of, for a scene or two.
But I mean, you know, when they're performing the operation in the back of the speeding ambulance and the guy survives a ruptured spleen, like, uh-huh.
But it's the epitome of a suspension of disbelief movie, which I thought they didn't make anymore, but apparently Bay is like, no, I'm gonna keep making them. As in, like, nothing in this movie is believable. Not a single scene or shot. The other thing that I was laughing at consistently is that every character, and there's thousands of them in this movie, there's like, you think they've introduced everyone, and then someone else shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And every single one of them, the casting is completely wrong. Like, even the doctors who help him, like, the EMT calls her doctor boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, who then calls his doctor friends to help her. None of those people were legit doctors. They were, like, Bay's buff friends. He was like, hey, can you do a doctor cameo for me? And the whole movie is that. Like, none of the cops, I'm like, none of these people look like cops. No one in this, even Jake Gyllenhaal, I'm like, I don't believe him as the character he's playing. I believe him as Jake Gyllenhaal, but I don't believe him. And Yaya is the only person who I'm like, he's Yaya, but he's just... He's Yaya. He doesn't really, like, do anything in it.
I thought Yaya had the most opportunity to act, whereas Gyllenhaal's stage direction was, Jake, every scene, 11, and eyes. Eyes wide as you can make them, especially when you put that black mask on and you look vaguely comical for 2 seconds with the bouncing eyes.
Yeah. But not everyone can do that. I think I only enjoy Jake in it because he was dialed up to 11 of madness, and that I'd rather him than like someone more. Uh oh, here we come. Bay's coming for us.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Like, you've spoken poorly of our movie, we're gonna arrest you. Oh, sorry, Michael, I didn't mean to. I like your movies. Some of them.
It's all right. It's a false flag. He's driving away.
We've escaped this. We have survived. We have robbed the Bay Bank. I would, and I guess contrary to you,
go on.
I did enjoy it in a mild, like, I admit fully as a movie nerd that I am so glad I saw this in the cinema, because they cranked it up, and the score was booming, and if I would have seen this at home, I don't think I would have enjoyed it half as much as I did. And as dumb and as, like, sickeningly erratic the camera work is, I still enjoyed watching it.
Paul Greengrass is sleeping easy tonight after watching this film.
Yeah, this is the maximum of puke cinematography. It was like with drones too, I love it.
Oh yeah, it's like, we're just going to start with this camera on the side of a building for no reason at all, and then it's going to do like a 720 flip, plunge to the ground, skim across the floor, and end up on somebody's eyeball, and then somebody walks through a door.
Yeah.
Oh, big deal.
It's endless drone mania shots. Like,
this is the movie where Michael Bay cements his love of drone photography. I mean,
I really do wonder if he was behind the controls on a lot of those drone shots, because they're just they're the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And like you said, they add nothing. Like, it'll be like a shot of them driving, and then there'll just be like a drone shot through the buildings, and you're like, Why did we see? Why? But cool. But why?
I'm sure the camera operators just sort of said, Michael, we can do this really kind of like cool. And he's like, no, just take the controller and just throw it against the wall.
Yeah, that's bae.
They've got auto gimbals. It'll sort itself out.
Bae it up. Bae it around. Bae it upside down. Bae it. My other favorite one was this like one where it goes under the police car as it's crashing for no reason, but it's crashing. So why not make it a cool crash shot?
I mean, it was helpless. It was hopelessly self-conscious. It's like, you know, there would be this action sequence, and then suddenly there would be this really ostentatious drone shot, and then it would cut back to the thing that it was covering before. But it's like, we spent all this money on this drone shot. We just kind of, oh, that's a good place. We'll drop it there.
Yeah. Sure, why not? So self-aware that he name drops his own movies twice. He name drops Bad Boys, and he name drops The Rock. And I was like, you son of a bitch, bae. You have no shame. I can't hate Bae because I feel like he knows he's ridiculous.
I think you can enjoy. I mean, this is the thing. Once you disconnect from the characters, the plot, and when everything else is going on,
you disconnect from everything.
You can just enjoy this film for, oh, we're going to be this silly, now sillier, now even more silly than that, and just keep on going. Again, marvel at the chewing gum. Marvel at the preposterousness of it.
I also think in the world of really terrible, like all these Bruce Willis crap action movies, that Bae going nuts and putting this in the cinema is a, I don't want to say, I hate to, it's cliche now to say, oh, they don't make them like they used to, but I did feel a little bit like that watching this. Like, we don't see this kind of ridiculousness, but also in a Bae entertain. Like, I still think this is better than Six Underground, and that he actually made a more cinematic movie.
Agreed.
Than that one, but also it doesn't belong in the 2020s either. I mean, there's also questionable politics regarding the LAPD being like this most beautiful example of the LAPD's war equipment at its finest, like copious amounts of look at how great the LAPD is.
Yeah, but
and look at all of our cool vehicles.
This was a love letter. This was like military eroticism on overdrive.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying with the LAPD though. And never once do they question it.
Look how great, how militarized our police force is. Isn't this great? We can solve any problem provided we have enough cars, guns, helicopters, God knows what.
Yeah, snipers, everything. Yeah. Well, it is, I guess the only, I'm sure someone will defend it by being like, well, the LAPD didn't stop them. I'd be like, but that was the plot of the movie. I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but it's kind of like, by the way, it's 2 hours, 20 minutes. So it's like 2 hours, 20 minutes of a chase of which they continue to evade the police, who have thrown literally everything they possibly can at him and so, can't stop him.
Okay, so what did you make of the ending? Or the attempt at an ending?
Well, should I speak spoilers or no?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, it's sort of like, I kind of got the feeling that if there was an attempt at pathos, this was just being dragged out and dragged out and dragged out. And
I thought of this, and then I was like nervous to say it, but maybe your podcast listeners will appreciate it. It was a Deus Ex Black Lives Matter. It was like a, oh, okay, we're gonna go through all this and then shoehorn in a couple of slightly political references in the very last two scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, oh, look how great EMTs are. I'm like, you had 2.5 hours to make a statement about EMTs, and you never did until the last scene.
So.
But okay, fair enough.
So is this a dead man walking, or can we safely go back and watch Bring Out the Dead? And
no, I think if you, I don't know if you're gonna, I don't know if people are gonna listen to this after having seen it or before, but if you know what you are going in to see,
yeah,
as in you are not expecting anything other than a piece of trash action movie, you might enjoy it.
Yeah, if you go in that mindset.
Like I don't expect more from Bae anymore, and I kind of know, especially after all those Transformers movies, I know that I'm not, there's not going to be an ounce of intelligence in it, but what I only want from a Bae movie is to be entertained cinematically. And as much of a mess as so much of this is, I was still entertained.
I do feel that this was Bae, whilst unhinged, actually slightly restrained.
I didn't really see,
I mean, like, he really totally cut down on the whole sort of slow motion flapping flags and stuff. That
just replace it with drones, though.
Yes, this is it. I figured that drones were more sexy to play with than flags.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah. So would you be recommending... Who would you recommend this film to?
Well, like I said, anyone who's ready for that kind of bayness.
It has its own adjective now.
Yeah, I mean, I have some friends who we can appreciate the bay when he makes a movie. Like, you know, we know what he's going for, we know what he's trying to do, and I don't know, I wouldn't spend more than $10 on it.
All right.
Don't waste your money on a $20 ticket, please.
Straight streaming, unless it's somewhere with a really good sound system.
Yeah,
you're coming for the sounds.
So if you like that instant reaction, please consider signing up for more. By subscribing to our podcast, you'll be alerted every time a new instant reaction drops and when we're able to share it with you. Also, because sometimes a film can really start to grow on you, we'll be hosting an extra roundtable podcast to see if these initial feelings still hold true. So until then, please keep safe, and we look forward to seeing you on the next instant no spoiler reaction. All the best. Bye.